plate a potential nugget.
One of the pieces I'm curious about, Jeffrey, is how people make choices. If you reflect on the last 50 years, and as your power has increased, as your expertise in the domain grew, what sorts of things have you said no to, and what sort of choices have you made to continue to do what you love and what you enjoy?
My late wife would tell you this, I have the only job from which I would not be fired because, of course, I have tenure. So I have not had, what I mostly said no to is academic administration. I love being a professor. I love doing my research. I would not want to be an associate dean or a dean or a provost or vice provost or an assistant to the vice provost or any of these other titles. And so I did take one academic administrative job. I ran executive education under Nobel Prize winner Mike Spence when he was the dean. I did that for 2 years. I am immortalized and memorialized in the Stanford minutes, as he said when he gave a report to the Faculty Senate that I had accomplished more change in a quicker period of time than anybody in the history of higher education. So he was quite complimentary, but I decided I did not like to do that. That, in the words of my colleague, the late James G. March, one of the founders of this field, you can have power or you can have autonomy. You cannot have both. And I chose autonomy.
Can you expand on that, Jeffrey? You cannot have power and autonomy. Can you say more about what's the trade-off? What's the distinction there?
Absolutely. Think about Barack Obama, or think about, to take a thing closer to home, my dear friend Gar Saloner. His now deceased wife was dying of cancer. And, they gave him the fall off with the expectation that she would die. She did not. And now it's the winter. And he has a responsibility as the dean to have meetings, to go on the road, to raise money. I see my friends as they take on administrative roles. When I had the late head of the Motion Picture Association of America, Jack Valeni, come to my class. I never called Jack. I called Judy Dickey, his assistant, who managed his calendar. When I wanted Gary Loveman, when he was running Caesars, the enormous casino company, to come to my class, and he and I have become very good friends over the years, I called Reggie Kirk, his assistant. Someone other than you controls your schedule. When you assume a job, and of course, the other thing that happens with a position of high power is you have enormous amounts of visibility. You travel with security. You travel, I could tell you a funny story about Gary and his daughter, but I will spare you that story because it takes a couple minutes to tell. But, you lose your privacy and you lose a lot of control over your life because, you have to do things that you don't necessarily want to do, but that the organization requires of you. You have to be the face of the organization. I've had CEOs say to me, and this isn't going to surprise you at all, I'm an introvert, but when I do an employee meeting, or when I do a customer meeting, I don't care, or it doesn't matter how I feel or what I would prefer to be doing at that moment. I have to show up for the employees or the customers or the shareholders or whatever it is. And you, of course, know this.
It's very interesting. If I may juxtapose this with the work of Bob Keegan at Harvard, who talks about, having a self-authoring phase of life as we cross a certain point. Strangely enough, that's when we have the maximum power. Our power is probably also the highest as we sort of get to the later stages of our life. So the tension between the two, I guess, becomes stronger and stronger as we age, doesn't it?
I guess I've always acted in the same way that I act now. I mean, I've lived a life without regret. I'm very happy for the choices I made. I'm glad I never became a dean or an associate dean or, a provost or a university president or any of these jobs. I enjoy what I do. And what I tell people all the time, not that we want to necessarily be so philosophical, but we can be, that if I gave you, Deepak, if I gave you $1 billion and said, buy back last week, you could not. Time is the least fungible of all resources. Once it is gone, it is gone. And I don't care how much money you have or how cute you are or anything else, you cannot get it back. And so I have tried to spend my time in ways that brought me joy, happiness, a sense of fulfillment.
I love what Jeffrey says about what he loved and what he explicitly said no to. When I look at my journey, I tell people that I see myself as a surgeon and do not have any interest in building a hospital, which is a very different pursuit, which requires very different skills, and the leadership ask is very different. Personally, I'd like to have good conversations with good people, whether it's the advisory work I do or the podcast conversations. At least as things stand now, I feel building a firm requires a very different set of capabilities and motivations, and I'm not sure if I have them at this stage in my life, given what else is competing for my time and attention and what really energizes me. So it was helpful to have Jeff talk about the trade-off between power and autonomy in simple terms. Thank you for listening.